Today, I have the pleasure of being joined by a former teammate of mine on the basketball court and a South Boston legend, Jake Harrison. Jake, born and raised in Southie, played high school basketball at Boston Latin, had a tremendous career there, went on to play in college at Western New England, where he was an All-American selection, which we'll hear about that at some point in this episode. Currently, Jake is now playing professional basketball in Portugal for FC Gaia. What an honor to have you on today, Jake. It's another week where I have another Boston legend on the pod.
Yeah.
I had your former teammate, Tommy DeVito, last week, and now obviously got you this week. Thank you so much, Jake, for taking the time. How are you doing today?
Great, man. I'm just great to be able to catch up with you, man, and kind of just talk with you. I feel like I haven't seen you in a couple months, so I
Yeah.
mean, I saw you ref I saw you umping the Little League game that was the last time, so definitely have some things to catch up on.
100%. I'm psyched to have the time with you here today, and I appreciate you taking the time with the time difference and obviously the tough schedule of playing pro hoops. Like, you always have practice and games. So,
Yeah.
thank you for making this time. And I'm excited to catch up with you and hear more about your career now playing overseas. Hopefully, one day I can make it over to Portugal to see you play.
Yeah,
Obviously, seeing the
definitely,
stats are
bro.
great,
You
but
have to come up, bro. You have to come up. It's amazing, bro. It's not like America. Crazy views. The people are great. Everything. The food's great.
yeah,
Definitely.
I'd imagine it's really cool. And now you made it big time, dude, right? You really put in the work. And I played with you at Gady, which I'm repping Gady CYO today because of that. But played with you at Gady. We won a couple House League championships and Mike Dunn over the years. And then lo and behold, I left for college. I blink a year or two later, I come back to Southie, and you took like a major leap, which we were just talking before we got on this
Yeah.
episode about that gap between 10th grade and 11th grade. You took a major jump in your game and became not only like a good player at each thing, you excelled at everything, scoring wise, rebounding wise, defensively. You did everything you had to do to make it to the next level and obviously playing college and then now playing pro hoops. I do want to ask you this though. When did your love for the game of basketball begin? Because I know you played a lot of sports growing up.
Yeah. So I think the love for the game originated from my mom. Like, my mom played in college. So ever since I was little, basketball was in my hand. I think it originally started at Gady, playing instructional, like at 4 or 5 years old. You get a ball and then you go to House League and you make some friends and you go up there every Sunday playing basketball. You watch your friend's game after if you're playing at 11, you watch them at 12. So I think that's where it originated. Like, again, like the sense of community, like Sean Monahan, Mike Donovan, Greg Lally, like they're all up there every day, like asking you all, how you doing? Like, how's school? Da, da, da. So then you form these connections and it's like, it's bigger than basketball at that point, like it's kind of like the community feel for it. And I think that that's what I kind of most enjoy about it. Like, I mean, the basketball, the competitiveness is always fun. Like, I mean, I'm playing basketball for 20 years now. Like, but I think the biggest part is like Joey, dude, without basketball, we might not be on this podcast right now. So it's the long life friends you make along the way. I think that what really made me like, all right, I love this.
Yeah, 100%. It's the family aspect of it. When you're on a team, especially a game like basketball, it's everyone's working together, right? All five players on the court
Yeah.
kind of gel. And like you said, the people that were up the PAL over the years, and then the Tynan guys you already mentioned, Greg Lally, Sean Monahan, Mike Donovan, Cheech, like all of those people were very
Yeah.
integral into our childhood. And then obviously getting to where we're at today, right? Like those guys gave us a
Yeah.
place to hang out, a place to play basketball, people that we could always, lean on anytime we needed something. And who knows where we'd be today, like you said. I don't know if we would be as good of friends without that, right? Because we shared
Yeah.
a lot of time playing pickup hoops and then obviously as well in House League. And I look back at our times playing at the Tynan, Meet You, James Bizell, which shout out Buzzy. Like us three were always together playing hoops over the summer.
Yeah.
In between, games, we'd have House League games on Sundays. We'd have a travel game on a Thursday. We'd be at the Tynan Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, getting shots up.
Yeah.
Like we spent a lot of time together, us three. And now to be able to see you doing what you're doing, dude, it really is an honor. And I'm so happy to see you
Appreciate it,
excelling
man.
at the highest level, dude. You're playing pro hoops. Like this is big time.
Yeah.
And I hope you realize you are a Southie legend. And those people already mentioned, Greg Lally, I was talking to him not even like 2 weeks ago now about you. And he named his all-time starting five in Gates history. And you were in there. And I'm telling you right now, you're in mine as well. All-time starting
Appreciate it,
five,
bro.
legendary player. And you look at your career, dude, in high school, then to college, and then now playing in Portugal. You were always a good all-around player. And that's a question I have for you is what part of your game do you think makes you stand out most as a player? Is it defense? Is it hustling? Is it rebounding?
I think that what makes me stand out from everyone else is I think the offensive rebounding, like just being able to read the ball off the rim, hit a body, get the ball, and then try to make that layup. Because again, like if they get the ball and they're back on offense, it's kind of a different way of the game. Like if I get a rebound and you see another offensive player get a rebound, you just play defense for 20 seconds. You're frustrated, you're mad, and then never mind, they get in the putback layup. It's like all that defense was for nothing. And then it kind of like gets in underneath their skin in their head, and it's frustrating. So I feel like that's like where I kind of excel, and not many people are kind of really good at rebounding on the offensive side.
Yeah, for sure. You track the ball so well. And that's another thing I was going to say is, what would you say is the most underrated skill in your game? And I can give you my opinion, but just watching you play, I think it's your IQ of the game. No one, when you're on the court, there's no one that knows where guys are going to be better than you are. Your court vision's great. Even
Appreciate
on the
it, man.
defensive
Thank you.
end as well, like you know where the ball's going to go, where they're going to swing it around the top of the key. You know always where to be. And I feel like those are things that don't show up in the stat sheet, but that's something when you're watching the game, you could see you have a high level of knowledge of the game of basketball. What would you say is your most underrated part of the game?
Thank you. I would probably say that my most underrated part is passing. I feel like we said, I took that jump junior year and senior year in high school, and I think that teams like when people start to realize that like you're a better player, they send double teams at you and stuff like that. And then I in college I started playing point guard, and I feel like that's where I kind of learned to like learn how to pass the ball. And I mean, I've always been the dude who would pass the ball up to anybody who was open, but I feel like to be able to truly find guys when I'm getting double teamed or a guy on a back door, you know, again, going into your IQ, like I'm passing the ball before he's even past the defender. So I think that passing definitely is the most underrated that I feel like.
And that comes from just playing as much as you do. Like nobody loves running as many five on fives as you do. And that's something we were just chatting about before we got on this podcast today. When you were playing, you know, growing up, you know, high school, college, you were always getting time in playing five on fives. How much do you think that helped you not only learn the speed of the game, but know where to look for guys, know how to help you rebound, all of that? How much, you know, did that play a role in you getting to where you are today, all the time you put in playing five on five?
I think that's probably one of the biggest factors of where I am today, because again, like I said before the podcast, I'm not the guy who's gonna go to the gym and put up 1,000 shots before I leave. I'm the guy who's like, I want to play five on five and so I'm out of breath and want to go home and sleep. But just being able to like you know, I'm playing five on five and we're at the time, and I mean, it might not be the college level players that I'm playing against back in the day, but I mean, I'm seeing a pick and roll, and I'm being able to read it, and I'm seeing where people are boxing out, you know, seeing the ball off the rim every single game, every single shot. So I think again, it's just the consistency of just seeing things over and over, and I think you start to pick it up like with the IQ and being able to read things and like in game and in practice and stuff like that.
And I think that's where your passing, you know, takes that next level too. And you're playing just with anybody playing pickup, when you're getting more and more reps, you know when to pass it, when guys are gonna set a pick and roll, when to do a give and go. And I feel like I consider myself a good defensive player, but over the years, you got, you know, better and better at everything. You were the toughest cover you were because you had the height over time as well.
Appreciate
Now
it.
you're 6'5", right? So you have the size, you have the knowledge of the game, you have the ability to kind of have that endurance and stamina to stay up for 40 minutes running as much as you have, which we'll get into that when we talk about, you know, playing professionally now. You're putting up a lot of minutes on the court every game, but no one really, you know, stayed as locked in as you did through every level. And that's a testament to the amount of work you put in and the people that helped you along the way, like Greg Lally, right? He was always there to help you, and Buzzy was always a big supporter for you. And you know, me and Buzzy were always rooting for you. And looking at you now too, it's like we went from playing just pickup basketball, I don't know, 5 years ago. Now you're playing, you know, pro hoops. You made it, dude. So it's awesome to see you grow as a player and as an individual. And I do have a question about your jersey number. I noticed in college you were number 22. Now professionally, you're playing number 22 as your number as well. Is there any meaning behind that number for you?
So like when I was at Gady, I picked the number 2 because of my grandfather. You know, he was born on June 2nd, so I picked number 2 for him. And then I went to high school two. I was sick the day picking numbers, right? So I was like, damn, I can't get 2. So I went next best number 12, you know, like the next level, you know, the next step up. I'm just going to go add 10, go to 2 to 12. And then I go to college and 22 is available. That's the next level. I'm like, I got to pick number 22. So I go to from 2 to 12, 22, like every level of my life kind of changing a little bit, but always keeping it, you know, like always keeping who true to myself. And then I was going to choose 32 here. And I was like, should I go 32? It's the next step. But I was like, I played so good in college, and I just the 22 kind of stuck with me in college. Like, oh, number 22, Jake Harrison. And I was like, I gotta just keep it, man. Like, it's sentimental to me at this point, so I had to keep it.
Dude, yeah, you picked a great number, and that's a number that obviously now stuck with you from college, now playing pros. And that leads me right into my questions about you playing in college, which you were a big time factor in them in Western New England winning your conference tournament last year, being the Conference of New England champion, winning that title in the 24-25 season. And then obviously over the years as well. I mean, you guys were always a competitive team, but you finally got that next step, punching a ticket to the tournament, which you guys, your junior year, your sophomore year, you were competitive. You were right at the border of making it, to the D3 tournament. But last year, you really found a way to all click as a team and get that, next level and make it to the tournament. How gratifying of a moment was it, knowing how close you were in years past, and now last year getting it done, making it to the Division III tournament?
Yeah, I think honestly it's a feeling that you can't repeat. Like you talk about all the hours I put in at the time. And I mean, to me, it was kind of just like playing basketball. But looking back on it, it's like I could have been doing anything else, like I could have been at home playing video games or out with my friends. But you go to sophomore year, like you talked about, sophomore year, we lose to I think one of the greatest D3 college teams of all time and Nicholls. Like they went to the Elite Eight. They were just all 6'7", 6'8", just lanky. It's like we were at that point, all of our 4 out of our 5 starters were sophomores or juniors that were, because of COVID, sophomores. But like we were young, we were kind of didn't know where we fit, but we were playing well. Like we were playing good together. And then we go into junior year. And I think that because Nicholls got a little bit worse, we kind of were like, okay, we got this. And then we play Suffolk at home and it kind of like they bring us to the end of the game, and I think we folded, and they ended up kind of just coming out on top. And I think that after that game, it all settled in our heads, like we got one more year left. Like that, for all the 6 a.m. practices, for all the 6 a.m. lifts, for the 2 a days during winter break, like we got to put the for all this work, we got to win. And I think that that's kind of where we put everything aside, like egos, everything, and we're like, let's just win game after game. And then we got to that championship, and then I just wanted Cody Palisacci, shout out to him. He had 26 points in the championship game. And it's just like, that's a game he'll remember for the rest of his life. Insane, And then to be able to punch a ticket to do something we haven't done in 24 years after thinking, oh, will we be able to do it? All the work we put in for all over our life. And it's great. It's unbelievable to even imagine.
Yeah, it all paid off, all of the work and the hours you guys put in. And that's the guy you mentioned, Cody, which he was a ridiculous shooter. I remember that game at Suffolk. He had like 6 or 7 threes, maybe 8 threes in a blink. Like in the first half,
Yeah.
he had 21 points and then maybe finished with like 30 that game. And I remember watching that being like, you guys knew how to work as a team. He had a hot hand that game. So anytime you guys could drive and kick it out and get it to him, you guys did. And obviously a terrific shooter of his career. And that was a guy that, really excelled just like you, right? In the big moments, you guys stepped up and, carried the team. And to be able to win the conference tournament and winning a conference tournament, a title for the first time in 24 years that you guys did that, making the tournament for the first time since 2001, all of that is very impressive. And now, what was your experience like playing in the Division III tournament? I'm sure it was pretty crazy, big crowds, a big thing. Now you're in the bracket, right? 64 teams.
Yeah.
Now you got to see how things go, but you made it, right? You're in that. What was that experience like?
Dude, it was incredible. Like, you're going up against Hamilton, which is a NESCAC team. Like you're the underdog. They have the NESCAC player of the year and Hank Morgan. You kind of just like, I mean, we did what we were supposed to do. Now nobody in the world expects us to do anything more. And but the thing about the self-confidence in us, like air of confidence, like the dude said in the post game after Hamilton, like we just believe in ourselves. Like we've played 100 and something games together, like at the core 4 or 5 of us, like we knew what we were capable of, and we knew that we could win that game. So winning against Hamilton was insane. No one expected that first win, I think, ever in program history. And then you go up against Montclair State. They're a little bit worse, but they're a different team. It's they have one of the greatest shooters in the country. He shoots 0 for 10 against us, and we ended up winning that game. And it's just like you stack those games together. But what the best part of it was, like seeing my friends' families there, like all cheering for us still. Like you see everyone's moms together, everyone's dads together, cheering for us, talking to us after the game. And it's just like those are the things that you miss the most when it comes to like your final year. Like you're just seeing the people after every game, talking to them, going out to dinner. But then you go up against Trinity, who ended up winning it all, and we just had a bad game, I would like to say, but I mean, they were really good. You got to give props to them.
For sure. No, they were a great team, but just to make it to where you guys got to, right? The Sweet 16, winning 2 games, the first time in program history that you guys were able to make it and win a game once you make it. That was big time. And just making it for the first time since 2001. Like you guys had a very special season, and I unfortunately didn't make the tournament, wasn't able to make it. I had to work at BC, but I remember watching on my phone and it was loud. Like the environment was crazy, right? You guys had a lot of people
Yeah.
in the crowd. I'm sure it was. I mean, you guys played probably in some rowdy environments during the regular season, but when you're playing in playoff basketball, there's nothing like it. How
Yeah.
difficult was it to try to lock in and focus, right? Because I'm sure it was tough to hear each other and communicate on the court when it's that loud
Yeah.
and that many people.
I think in the tournament, I think I think it's probably one of the easiest games to lock in for. You know what I mean? You just know that, especially as a senior, like if you lose, you're done. There is no other game, you know? So I feel like in those games, with even the amount of pressure that you have on you and knowing the situation, I mean, it's easy to lock in for those because you love the game. You've been playing 120 games or something like that. So I feel like locking in was kind of easy, but I think that it's like playing for the guy next to you. You know, my coach Colin Tabb always used to say, play for the guy next to you. And you do that, and it's easier to play. You know, it's easier to lock in than rather if you're like, oh, I'm worried and stressing in my head. Don't worry. Don't forget about what you're thinking about. Just worry about the guy next.
It always worry about the next play, right? There's gonna be bad plays in the course of the game, but I feel like with you, especially even when playing pickup basketball, there might be a tough pass, tough shot. You always are making the next play, getting back on defense, trying to make that, next stop. And that's the important thing when you're in a tournament like that. You really don't have time to think about, oh, I just missed that three. Damn, that's tough. You gotta just be able to get ready for that next play and get back on defense for the guy next to you, right? You don't want to leave them,
Yeah.
out, to high and dry. You want to get out there and make sure that you're there to play defense. And that's something you've always done well. Is hustling and getting back. And I do want to mention your sophomore year, right? That was your best year of college basketball. You had a terrific year in 2022, 2023, averaging 17 points a game, which that wasn't the only thing. You were a double-double machine. You were getting rebounds, you were getting assists, you were bringing the ball up. You had a lot of responsibilities that year. How did you find out the news that you were not only an All-American selection, but also the Commonwealth Coast Conference Player of the Year?
Yeah, so I knew that the player of the year, I knew it was between a couple of us. You know, we're the number, I think, number two seed at that point. And being a younger guy, it was kind of just like at that point, I was like, I want to win, I want to win, I want to win a championship. And I come out of pickup one day and I look on Instagram and I see Western New England Golden Bears posted Jake Harrison player of the year. And again, it's like I said, it's something you just can't imagine. Like it's your dream as a kid playing basketball your whole life to do something like that, and to see that, it's like, all right, all the hard work paid off and stuff. But I think that I got to give it to my teammates and my coach as well. Like they just believed in me, trusted me to do play in and play out. Like, oh, if I get double teamed to pass, they just trusted me every single time and backdoor cuts and like shout out to them. And then for the All-American, my mom's the biggest basketball fanatic of all time, and so she follows everything. She's like, I don't know, I don't. You might make the third team. You might do this, da da. And me and my mom were at Castle at Sully's. We're getting food, and she's like looking at her phone. She's like, Jakey, you just made second team. And I was like, no, like that. I didn't even. I still don't kind of believe it. It was crazy to be a top 20 player in a conference of what your division of what you're doing. To be top 20 player is insane, you know. Especially at 19 years old, like most of them are 22, 23, 21 years old. At 19, it's kind of like, I was like, wow, like I can only get better, you know. But I kind of that was kind of my peak. But you know, what is it? We'll save that for another time.
I wouldn't say it's the peak, right? Because every year, right, there's different things, different situations, right? The team has different players, obviously. You'd have a different schedule. Like, there's always something different every year, and that's why it's tough to say it was a peak. Because I wouldn't say it's a peak, right? You had a great 4 years overall, and I do want to mention. I'm going to rewind now to what we were saying before the podcast about your time at BLS. When you took that jump from 10th grade to 11th grade, like every year is different, right? On that 10th grade team, there were seven or eight seniors, so it was a little bit more difficult to get as much playing time. But then your junior year, you had a lot more opportunities to kind of take that next level up. Same thing when you're in college, right? Like every single season has a different story. But I do want to mention that BLS jump. And now I know I'm rewinding, but you had a great quote talking about 10th grade to 11th grade. You played with a lot of seniors, right? Tommy DeVito being one of them, and then obviously some other guys as well. How important was it for you when you got to that 11th grade year to say, okay, now I know my role, and now I know what this team needs to, as me as a player, now I know what they need from me to try to get to that next level?
Yeah, like what we were talking about before, when you're playing behind seven, eight seniors, you know, your role isn't as big, but you want to still impact the game as much as you can. And I think that, you know, my coach, Brendan Smith, of course, one of the best coaches I've ever been a part of, just knows the game inside and out. Wonderful dude as well. Like, he just knew that, like, I would just love the game. So he's like, I'm going to put this dude in certain situations and just try to see if he can make a play. And then going into junior year, we lose all those seniors, and it's like, who's the scorer? Who's the point guard? Who's this and that? And you kind of just like, with all the work that I put in on the offseason and with Brendan Smith and AAU and Greg Lally at the time, and you're like, okay, like I want to be the guy, I want to be that guy, because everybody wants to be that guy. So, and then I started putting some good games together, and then it's like, okay, like I can see myself being that guy. So then game in and game out. I'm trying to just win games, and we end up going to the tournament, and we ended up winning. We ended up upsetting Chelsea, and I think again it just comes down to the teammates. Like again, it's like the brotherhood of basketball. Like if your teammates believe in you, I feel like you can do anything in the world, you know. So I definitely felt like the teammates helped me, and definitely my coaches for just having the confidence in me to put me in those positions.
Yeah, a lot of those guys around you helps you get better, and you help them as well, right? Like you're always looking out for the guys around you, how you could help other guys, score. I think that's one thing that's underrated about your game. Like you said, your passing, you don't always want to get, the 25 point game. You like getting those 10 assists. You like kicking the ball in, trying to get everyone the ball and a chance to score. And I think that's why I said every single story is different every single season, right? That sophomore year at Western New England, you guys needed some more scoring, so you took more shot opportunities. But then junior, senior year, there's some other different, things going on where you could get, Cody the ball to shoot the ball at the three. There were different things every year. And I think that's why it's important to point out, because I don't want you thinking it was a peak year. It was just a year where there was more scoring needed. And then the other years you were doing everything else and, passing more, stuff like that. And I think that's important. And you had a great 4 years, and that's kind of leads into my next question. You're looking back at your college career, what moment stands out most? Is it the All-American selection? Is it making it to the tournament? Is it, one sort of game where things kind of clicked, and you're like, okay, now I know, what we need to do as a team to make it to the next level?
I think what number 1A 100% is winning the championship, that's what I've been trying to do my whole life. Oh, win a conference championship, and just seeing all the hard work pay off. But I think 1B, is definitely again the tournament game. Like you win against Hamilton. Like again, it's one thing to do something that hasn't been done in 24 years, but to do something that hasn't been done ever in program history, that I feel like that's just something that is like, oh, that's that 2025 team that ended up winning the first program history ever, and I think that when I was going into college, like I was kind of like, oh, I don't want to go to a Nichols who is winning eight conference championships in a row. Like I want to go to a team who's on the cusp of being good, and I want to make them great. Like I want to use my what I have, and I can bring it to them. And I think that's what I tried to do, and that's why it was so frustrating losing that sophomore year and that junior year, because I know that we were there. But then ultimately, that 1A winning that championship is just a feeling that you work towards, and something you can't even describe with words.
And that perfectly describes you as a player, what you just said. You always want to go to that team that might be right on the border, right? And elevate them and bring everybody up around you. And that's what you did, right? In high school, right? You lose those eight seniors. You would elevate the rest of the team around you and all the guys you kind of elevate, and they were helping you elevate as well. Same thing in college, right? All you guys kind of worked together and you guys knew what you needed to do to make it, obviously, and obviously make the tournament. And you look at your history at Western New England, you can't write the history book of Western New England basketball without you, Jay. Truly, like you are one of the greatest players in program history. And these are all stats, which I'm gonna have to read them off because it's tough to even remember. But you're 10th all time in scoring with 1,393 points. Tied for fourth in total rebounds with 813, third in assists all time, 468 total, sixth in career blocks with 81, second in games played with 111, so 111 games total, tied for second in games started with 102, third in career steals with 170, eighth in career field goal percentage at 563, and then sixth all time in free throws made at 337. Like, you can't write the history of that sports program without you. And that's obviously showing what you can do as a player, which people talk about in the game of baseball, a five-tool player. If that's the same thing in the game of basketball, someone that can give you help passing wise, rebounding wise, scoring wise, setting screens, all of those things that don't show up in a stat sheet, like setting picks, deflections, all of that stuff, you do everything well. You do truly. And that's why it's
Thank you.
crazy to look at your career, right? When you're top 10 in every single major category. And how much work did you put in the offseason to prepare you to put up those big time numbers, which obviously you talked about, you weren't necessarily putting up 1,000 shots a day, but you're getting the five on fives going. How much work did you put in those off seasons when you were in college to just keep building and getting better and better?
So I think that especially going into my sophomore year, like I knew that I wasn't the strongest kid. Like I was a little bit chubby. I think going into freshman year, I was 225. So I was a bigger kid, And then I go into sophomore year or sophomore summer, and I'm like, me and my friends went to Planet Fitness every single day. But it didn't feel like a chore, like, oh, I got to work out. It's like me and my four buddies going and lifting, talking about life after we get out of work and stuff like that. So it was great for that. I think that the biggest part about the off season is it doesn't feel like a job. Like especially like when you're in college, and the pressure's there, and it's like, oh, if I don't perform, I'm not gonna play and stuff like that. It kind of feels like a little bit of a job. Like, oh, like the pressure and stuff like that. And it's like, oh, if I don't do good. So the off season was definitely where I thrived of just playing pickup, like going, and it didn't feel like, again, like it didn't feel like a job, like going and playing pickup with Greg and James and you and Evan Pierce at the time, and or playing in a summer league game. It just felt like it was basketball. I was with my friends again at the time, and like I was in 10th grade, and I think that's what motivated me of continuing to play at that level, because it's like, okay, I get a break during the summer. I get to just relax and get the shots up, get these games, get the IQ up, like running up at M Street with my friends playing against five dudes from Connecticut, like we call them yuppies, right?
You're right.
But
Yeah,
like,
I know what you mean.
yeah,
There's
but
always
like,
people up there playing.
yeah. So like, I think that just like, I think the competitiveness and just keeping my head like in the game, but not with the pressure, I think it's definitely what helped me set apart through the summer.
Yeah, and that's kind of the time you really put in all of the work, and we kind of know, okay, this is where I got to get better, passing, rebounding, shooting. And you did put in more time than anybody. And now I know you're a very humble person, so you're not going to say it, but you are, one of the best players in that program's history. When you first
Thank
stepped
you.
on that campus, right, your first time playing there, your first game, did you envision yourself? Did you say, okay, 4 years from now, I'm going to be an all-time great? And I know you're very humble, so you're probably going to say no, but did you envision yourself, being an all-around, let's say, like I said, 5-tool player in baseball, like a 5-tool player in the game of basketball? Did you see yourself excelling, in all of those categories?
So that was like, that was the goal, right? Like everyone wants to be like one of the greatest to ever do it, but I didn't think I was going to be, I was what, 220. I didn't have any D, I had no D2 offers, no D1 offers, So it's like, all right, but I always felt like I was unnoticed, like under the radar type of guy. But my first shot ever was against our rival Springfield in our first game, airball to three. And I was like, wow, like this is how it's going to start. Like, I can't believe that, da, da, da. But like again with the work and stuff like that. But yeah, I would say no. I didn't really think I was gonna be to the level that I'm at with the All-American and the MVP and the Defensive Player of the Year or the championship. But I just knew that getting better each day and continuing to play basketball and continuing to lift occasionally, I guess. But yeah, so I would say no, and I never expected it.
Yeah, but you stayed committed to the grind. And you mentioned obviously that, tough shot, the air ball on your first shot of college basketball. That's like a wow, I made it moment, right? Where it's like you're airballing and now there's so much pressure on you, right? In high school, right? You airball, but you're gonna get another shot, right? Not too far away. And you were, that leader on that team in high school. When you're in college, you're playing with all older guys, right? So you airball a shot, coach might get mad at you that you guys are still building that trust and gaining a relationship, right, as time goes on. So I'm sure you felt that pressure after you airballed, you're like, damn, but I'm sure you also got back on defense and try to make that next player and that play. And that's why when I look at you and the way you play basketball, you're a leader on and off the court. And that's why you were named a two-time captain at Western New England. How much of an honor was that to be recognized by your teammates and your coaches to be a two-time captain?
Yeah, so I think being a captain, I wasn't the most vocal guy. Like, I'm never really the guy like who's gonna be like, oh, do this, do that. But I want to be the captain who's like, I'm gonna lead by example. Like, if everyone sees me busting my ass playing play out, they're gonna want to be right behind me busting their ass, So it's like, just work hard, and the dudes will work hard behind you or next to you. That's how I feel. But I think that being a captain and just like being a leader, I feel like off the court was definitely where I excelled. Like, on the court, sometimes I can be, not the nicest person. Like, you give me a foul, I'm gonna be like, dude, are you serious? Da, da, da. But off the court, like, I'm trying to build friendships. I'm going to lunch with teammates. I'm playing Fortnite with them the night before a game. So, like, I feel like that's where I kind of excelled, like more off the court.
Even when you're on the court too, like there's obviously plays where you get called for foul and you don't agree, but you also, I feel like in college, right, when I went to that game at Suffolk, like there was trash talking between both teams, right? Like Suffolk, Western New England, you guys are going back and forth, but then there's that mutual respect, right? Once kind of the game's over with, there's that respect, and obviously you had a player that on that Suffolk team, Connor Strickland, a guy that you obviously played a lot with growing up. How cool was that being, just across the bench, same place, playing college basketball against each other? What was that like?
Yeah, so I mean, it's weird because me and Connor would go to the time and every single day after school playing basketball, and you don't really ever think that it's like, oh, like we're both gonna make it to play college basketball, and then we're both gonna play against each other is insane. So I remember the biggest moment I had was him guarding me the one of the last regular seasons my junior year or senior year, I think, but he was guarding me. And my buddy Nate Casper, who's also on the team, he knows that me and Connor grew up playing basketball together. He was they were both on a step ahead with me with Brendan Smith, and he's like, "Get Jake the ball, get Jake the ball," and he got it, gave it to me, and I scored it. He's like, "Get Jake the," and I it was just it's a fun moment to play against and score against the kids you grew up with. You know, it's not like a random kid from New York's coming and playing against you. It's someone you have a relationship with further and outside of the game.
And it's really cool. You guys both made it, right? Just doing the same thing, right? Like Connor was always getting
Yeah.
shots up, always working, just like you. And you get to that big moment playing in college against each other. Like it was cool just seeing you guys, which the Suffolk game I went to your junior year, he was injured at the time, but it was still cool seeing you guys kind of just across the benches playing in the same place, like being against each other. That's cool. And then obviously now being on the same court, one-on-one basically, like you guys were playing so often, you know, at the time and getting work in. Like it is really cool. And you look at you know, obviously your college career ended on a perfect note, which I know you want to win the tournament. And obviously it's disappointing that I know you wanted to win it. And it's tough, you know, losing the 16, but you look at what you guys accomplished. You set out obviously to win the conference championship. You did that. You're an All-American selection in college. You made the tournament and not only won one game, you won two games. Like your college career, you fulfilled a lot of things and a lot of accomplishments that if most college athletes had one of those things, like an All-American selection, that's a great career. And you look at everything you did, being top 10 statistically, you were an all-time great, not only in Western New England,
Thank
but
you, man.
you're looking at South, you're looking at Boston, right? Like not many kids from here make it to that next level and playing college and then obviously play professionally. And you were able to do all of that. So you have a lot to be proud of. And obviously now looking at where you are now in Portugal, you're playing professional hoops, right? For Gaia. What was that transition like going from college to playing pro now, you know, overseas?
It's definitely a different game over here. You know, like in college, it's you're running a play, but it's not really like you're running a play every single time. You're kind of running a little bit of a motion offense. You have the same base offense, but I feel like what changed the most here for me is kind of like, okay, we're gonna run a play every single time down the court, and that's kind of a little different for me because I've in college I had a little bit of more freedom than the next person, you know. So coming here, it's kind of like, all right, I got to get to my position and just get to the spot and set a screen or pass the ball or score. And I think that that's the biggest thing for me, and also kind of the conditioning aspect. Like I said before, when we were talking before the podcast, like we have three or four possessions every minute. There are people running up and down the court trying to get transition breaks because that's the advantage. You want a 2-on-1 in a transition rather than trying to set up. But in college, it's kind of like, all right, get the rebound, let's slow the game down, stuff like that. So I feel like those are the two biggest aspects that are kind of different for me within the game.
For sure. I would imagine playing three or four offensive possessions right at a time per minute, per 90 seconds. Like, that's a lot. That's very fast paced. College, you can kind of take the ball up the court, you know, set some screens, take your time to try to find a good shot. There is a shot clock, but you know, you can obviously get a good shot off in those 30 seconds. When you're playing, you know, overseas and everyone's trying to get those transition points, it must be tough conditioning wise, but you obviously put in the time, not only get shots up, you were always running, doing things. Like when we worked out with Greg, like he'd always have us doing like, you know, runs up and down the court, right? Basically the entire time where you'd be doing, you know, full court sprints back and forth. And I feel like those things helped you, right? With the conditioning. So now when you're playing over there, you're used to it. How difficult was it though? I know you got used to it over time, but you went from playing in college and then there's, you know, a few months in between now getting over to Portugal, and then you jump and you're playing 30, 35, 40 minutes even at a time. How difficult has that been? You don't really get as much, you know, time off, especially with transition. There's no one really taking the ball up the court easily.
Yeah, so I would think it's definitely harder. Like, you know, like I wouldn't say I'm in the best conditioning in the best shape than I am, but I would say just like the will of wanting to win. Like, even if you're tired, like still running up down the court, still running to go get the block, still like trying not to take any plays off, you know. Like at this level, I feel like if you take a play off, you're letting down everybody. Like you're not letting down the team, you're letting down the fans, you're letting down the coach, you're letting down the program. So I feel like it's just like the will of wanting to win and the will of wanting to like, oh, again, help the guy next to you. I feel like that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, you've always wanted to get better and improve your game. That's something you were able to do, you know, each and every step. What's a practice regimen like playing for Gaia? Is it similar to what it was in college where, you know, I know you had
So
two a days in college.
in college, I feel like it was a lot more stricter because you're on campus. There, every guy has practice from nine. Every guy's class from 9 to 3. You kind of know where everyone's going to be. Like here, like the guys that aren't import players, they work from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And they're also the younger kids are going to school, so it's kind of a little bit more challenging to try to find a practice. Like we practice every night at like 9, 8 o'clock at night, and we're getting home at 11, 12 because these dudes have work throughout the day. And I mean, it's all credit to them. Like, it's hard to do that, to try to get off an 8 hour shift and then try to practice. But I think we have 2 days off. We get Wednesdays off and we get Sundays off. So we practice 4 times a week, and then we have a game. So I would say that the level of practicing is definitely lower, but I mean, like, the practice is still intense, and the guys are still wanting to try their best even after an 8 hour shift, which is, I give all credit to them.
That is tough, right? Going to play hoops right after, but you're up late and then you're right back to work the next morning. How much time do you guys travel for away games? Are you guys going kind of far across Portugal to play other programs or other clubs, I should say?
So, because we're in this first stage of the thing, we're all in the North Division. Like, it's all basically like at most hour 10 drive. Most of the games are within 30 minutes because Porto is such a big city. They have like 3 or 4 teams, which makes the traveling a lot easier. But when we get to the next stage and we play the Northeast or Northwest Division, I think that will be kind of where I feel like we're traveling like 2, maybe 2.5 hours at most.
Completely understand that. Yeah, it makes sense that obviously you guys kind of do it, regional wise, right? You play your close teams, and you look at your season, right? I know we talked before. You're 6-6 on the year. You put up some great statistics, right? And I don't know if yesterday's game was included, but 20 points, 13 rebounds, 3 assists is what you're averaging a game. You've had some great numbers. You've put up a lot of minutes. You're getting a lot of time on the court. 6-6 record. What have you seen from your team this year? I know when you went under 500, it was probably a little bit disappointing, but now you guys, got right back to that base level. What have you seen from the guys around you this year?
The guys around me are amazing. Without them, I probably wouldn't be averaging that just because of the off-court stuff. Like, it's hard being in a different country and trying to still put up the numbers. And I feel like there's a little bit more pressure because everyone's looking at the guy that is the import player to make the next play, But they keep making play after play and keep working their asses off, which is credit to them again, because they're doing two jobs basically. But I would say that the biggest thing is just like, I think there's 2 or 3 games that we should have won, like, whether it's a bad call or a turnover or something. Like, we're 2 or 3 possessions at the end of the game, and we lose the game, and it's something that it's like, all right, the next game we got this. And we were started off 3-1, and we went on a little bit of a losing streak. I think we went down to 3-4 or 3-5, and the team just didn't quit, though. The team doesn't quit. Like, the next game, or the next game's the biggest game, as my coach here likes to say. And we just put our foot one footstep ahead, and we lose an overtime one game, and then the next game we win by 20. So it's like, you just gotta keep working and wanting to be better every
And
day.
basketball season's long, right? Like you're gonna go through stretches of really great stretches where you win 5 games in a row, and then there's gonna be a bad stretch, you lose 2 or 3 games in a row, and it can be frustrating, but you always gotta keep yourself up, look ahead to that next game, like your coach says, and he's absolutely right. How do you deal with the pressure? I know you just kind of mentioned it a little bit. How do you deal with the pressure of playing now professionally overseas where it's very different, right? You're living in a new place, you're playing a different type of basketball. How do you deal with that pressure of, playing over there?
So I would say that the easiest thing for me has been, like, if I'm ever feeling pressure or anxious about a game, like, I try to tell myself, it's a kid's game. Basketball at the end of the day is a kid's game. I know people play professionally, but like, I'm putting a ball through a hoop at the end of the day. There are people fighting in wars and stuff like that. I try to make it just like not as big as a deal as it feels to me, because it's what I do every single day. But like, there are bigger things in the world than basketball. So I try to minimize it and be like, all right, I shouldn't be as stressed. And it helps me a little bit. Like, it's still going to be a little anxious, still some pressure. But again, like, my mom's a single mom. Like, I've always been like, all right, she's going through way harder stuff on an average day than I'm going through right now. So I try to put it in a different perspective than, just being like, oh, am I going to score 20 points today? Are we going to get the win? Stuff like that.
For sure. And shout out your mom. Obviously, she was a big influence in you getting to where you are today with their love of the game of basketball. And then obviously seeing you make it to where you are today, I'm sure she's very proud. And you look at where you are now, right? Like you went every step of the way and you excelled. And I look back at even high school, like, right, we're playing, you were probably in 8th grade at the time when we won a house league championship in 9th grade. And I was probably in, like, I don't know, 11th maybe. And you could see, like, you were poised in those big time moments and you had some big shots for us. In those two stretches, we won some championships, and even that second run, right? We both got older and a little more mature, and I think better at the game. You were poised in those big moments. Ball was in your hands with 30 seconds to go, and you never really stressed and you weren't worried, right? And I think that's the main thing with the way that you play basketball. Like you said, you try to simplify the game, and now you've been in I mean, no disrespect to House League, and I love playing there, but now you're in a much bigger place, right? You play pro hoops, like, but all those moments, you kind of stayed true to yourself and believed in your game. And that's something my parents and I talked about when I was mentioning to them I was going to have you on the podcast. They were saying, like, if you look at every step of the way, like, Jake has really been a great player. You've excelled everywhere you went. And so that's why you got to stay true to yourself, right? Like, when you go to a new place, I'm sure it's tough living wise. It's a different situation, right? Because you got to adjust to being overseas. You're not just right down the street anymore, right? Like Western New England, you're not necessarily in Boston, but you're right down the street. You're not far away. But now you're overseas, it's different. But you stay true to yourself, and that's why I think you've been able to excel at each level because you've stayed, obviously loving the game of the basketball, staying dedicated, but also keeping your mental focus there, right? You're locked in to that next play, and you look at, where you are now. And I want to ask you about, like, kind of the living situation. What was it like transitioning to living in a new place overseas?
Well, first of all, shout out to your parents. I miss them, bro. I haven't seen them in a couple of years, so you definitely gotta say I said hi.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They love you. They love you.
I love them, bro. Doing the little stat sheet and the clock up at the paddle, man. Unforgettable times. But I think that transitioning over here, the biggest thing is like living by myself. Like in college, you're away from your family and stuff, but again, you have four or five roommates. You have your teammates there. Again, here, like I come home after practice, I'm by myself until I go to practice the next day, which I think has helped me a lot, like mature and the aspect of like you're living alone, you're gonna mature a little bit, you know? So that's definitely helped. But I think also being a different country, it helps you realize that it's just like life's bigger than yourself. Like there, and in America, you don't see the type of culture that you see over here. Like everyone's out at lunch talking, there's no cell phones, they're just enjoying the time. Like it's really just a different culture over here that I've learned to appreciate. And just like people take time. I feel like in America, people take time a little bit for granted. Over here, they're just enjoying the moment and not worrying about what they're going to do next and kind of just like living in the present, which is how me definitely try to live in the present as well.
For sure. I feel like over here, I feel like people a lot more hustle and bustle, focused on work. But over there, it seems like in Europe, they have that, break away from work, that work-life balance, right? That is kind of important, right? Where during the day, they'll go outside for a walk during lunch and sit outside and, socialize or just walk around in general and just, take in the views. And how do you spend your free time over there? Which you have some time obviously in between games and practices. How have you spent your free time? Are you traveling, seeing different things?
So I'm definitely second biggest city in Portugal is right next to me. It's probably a 15-20 minute walk. So I probably once a week, once every 2 weeks, I'm over there just looking around, trying to see new things. My favorite place is the church, man. The church, I'm right on top of the hill over the water. It's crazy. My mom was like, "Jake, you got to see this. You got to see this." I was like, "Mom, it's a church." And I went there and it was actually really cool, you know? So again, like learning to love the simple things. And again, like my teammates after games, they'll be like, "Oh, you want to go like hang out at our house?" Like getting around the team, especially like off the court, has definitely helped me a lot with the transitioning, just because they've been so inclusive. Everybody, my teammates, the coaches, the owners of the club, like they're all just so nice and super friendly, which has made this a lot easier. But I would say like resting a lot too. Like the practices are intense. Like I come home at 12 o'clock and I'm like, dude, I gotta lay in bed for a little bit. Like my legs hurt and stuff like that.
It's late. It's a different time over there too, right? You're 5 hours ahead. So I texted you. It was one time last week, and it was probably like, I don't know, it's probably our time here, like 7 o'clock, maybe 8 o'clock, and it
It
was
was
1 a.m., 2 a.m.
5 a.m. It was 5 a.m. You
5 a.m.
texted
Yeah,
me.
you were
You
texting
were
me a couple times.
time. Yeah, because it was 10 a.m. here and I'm looking at it and I'm like, dude, isn't it like midnight over there?
It
So
was different. Yeah, that was might have been yesterday. There was a couple times we texted at different times, and you were up one time. I was like, it might be 3 a.m., but it makes sense, obviously, with the way your schedules are. With practice, it's late at night, so you're gonna get home at 12, 12:30, maybe even 1. Then you're gonna shower, eat. It's like, it's tough, right? It's different than it was in college, where that set time every day there would be practice and you'd have classes, obviously, to try to maintain and stuff. But you found a way, obviously, to make it all work. And look at your career, right? Like basketball, each and every shot you took, high school, and then obviously in college wise, and now has really propelled you and gotten you to where you are today, right? You're in Portugal, you're living in Europe too. Like that is so cool to be able to do that all on your own. And I do have a question. Obviously, the food's a little bit different over there, but people seem to really like food in Portugal, which I've never been, but I've had some friends that have gone. They really like the food there. Is there a favorite dish or a restaurant over there that you've become very fond of?
So my friends have been saying you gotta try Francesina. It's kind of like sausage, different types of meats, and like in like a pastry kind of with like a tomato paste kind of on top. I tried it without the paste, like the tomato sauce. I'm not a big fan of the sauce, but the actual meat and the like the cake kind of it itself, amazing. You got, if that's one thing I've got to recommend, I definitely.
I love it. I'll definitely have to check it out one day. And I do want to see you play over this. Hopefully, at some point in the future, I'm able to make it. While you're over in Europe, what's the coolest experience outside of the game? Is it, trying different foods? Is it, going to that church? Is there like one specific moment or one place that has really been the coolest moment?
So my favorite thing outside of the game of basketball itself is like I coach, like I'm not like the main coach because like I don't speak Portuguese. I mean, I speak like some words, but
There you go.
like I'm kind of just like the guy who's there to like the kids see as like, oh, there he's on the senior team, like he plays on the highest team here. And the kids are amazing, man. Like they're always trying to have fun, like joking with me, like they'll like tap me on the shoulder and then look the other way. And it's just like being able to hang around the kids and like see like that they're just enjoying the game of basketball the same way I did when I was a kid is definitely what's the best part. Because like in America, 50% of the kids are like, oh, I don't want to be here, like I want to go play video games, like stuff like that. But I feel like here, like all and it's like the inclusiveness and the family like inside the club is unmatched. Like everybody knows everybody's name. Like they're all like talking to each other. It's not like, oh, here's that friend group, here's that friend group. And I feel like that's definitely like helped me. Like I coach on Saturdays and two Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays. So I see the kids 4 times a week and it's just like creating these relationships with them, the other coaches. And I feel like that's what's like kind of made me a little bit see inside of their culture. You know, like I'm not from here, but you know, like it's great to see that like they're enjoying the game as much as I am.
Yeah, that's amazing to be able to have that relationship with them, right? And you're a player they're gonna look up to, Jake. Truly, like you're a role model for them, being a guy that's on the highest level there, a guy that excelled at every level of basketball, and you're teaching them the game. Like that's something for them that they're gonna look back at. If one of these kids ends up making it playing pros, he might look back and say, "Oh, I remember when Jake pointed this out to me, and now you were a big difference in helping them get to where they are today." So that's awesome you're doing that. And what would you say is, Itch, I know you said the food is a little bit different, but there's obviously things that you really like that pastry that you mentioned. But I know the tomato paste you don't like, so I'll definitely make sure that's off of it. But what restaurant, if you could have one restaurant from Southie or Boston in general, if it's not Southie, one restaurant with you over there, if you could take, let's say, Olympics, Sully's, whatever it may be, and bring it over to Portugal, which one would it be?
So if we're going any restaurant from America, I'm going Raising Cane's, man. That's like I've been missing that since I've stepped over here. But from Southie though, I was thinking like you look at like Lando's, you look at Alfredo's. Personally, I'm probably gonna have to go with Alfredo's just because I like their steak tips are unmatched in Southie, and then pizza. The pizza's not maybe the best as like Sal's or Lando's, but I mean they got plenty of options for me. I think I would have to go with Alfredo's. Maybe Rondo's though. You know, you can't miss with Rondo's steak and cheese.
No, you cannot miss at Rondo's. I was gonna say Rondo's would be in mine for sure. Like Rondo's is unreal. You have like a top three. Like Rondo's is in there for sure. But that's a good list
Definitely.
you got there though. And Raising Cane's is it's heat. It's heat. Yeah, they don't have. It's only here, right? So that's a good point. I feel like I was thinking a lot of the time people are gonna say like something like Wendy's, something like that. But Raising Cane's is a growing franchise. It's really good. So I like that you picked that. And then obviously Alfredo's is great. Lando's. Those are places, right, where after you probably played basketball growing up, you'd go there, grab a slice of pizza or whatnot, right? And now obviously you look back when you come home, I'm sure it's nice just to get back to, playing basketball the time and again, maybe getting shots up, hitting the same restaurants you went to growing up, going down
I have a
to
list. I have a list on my phone of all the rest. I'm
the
gonna eat this when I get back. I'm gonna eat that when I get back. Rondo steak and cheese, number one though.
Yeah, Ronda's you can't miss with. Tommy DeVito was there obviously at one point. He gave a review of it. I think he said as well, it's
Love
one of the
that
best stuff
video.
places in Boston. Like it's amazing. And to honestly have you on and Tommy and like back-to-back weeks just about. I met friend Cliff Gideon as well last week. Like it's awesome seeing the big things that you're doing in the game of basketball. Tommy's doing obviously with Instagram. Like it's amazing that you guys are just
You
excelling
with the
in the game.
podcast though too. You got to give yourself some credit. You said I'm humble, but man, look at yourself.
I appreciate that, truly, dude. I really do. Thank you. And I do have one more question about what you're doing professionally, and then we'll dive and talk about the Pacers for a second. This is not necessarily playing professionally. It was a thing you played in the Euro Basket, Euro Pro Basket, European Summer League in June of 2025. So it's not necessarily Gaia, but it's a little bit bigger of a league. What was your experience like playing in that?
So that was amazing, man. Like, because like I think another one of the questions that we were going to talk about is like what players should do, what like the future generation should do. And I think, man, it's you got to come over to Europe and play if you want to go and play. You're a professional. You just see the because this is where all the connections are. Like the Brad guy knows all the coaches and he knows everybody. So that was what made it a lot easier for me to get my job. And the coach from Guy last year was a coach there on one of the teams in the summer league. But I think it was really important for me to try to see the game from a different perspective rather than like me playing in college. Like I go there and it's not about you. It's about the team and the coaches are really hard on you. The first like two, I was there for 3 weeks. First 2 weeks you have 2-a-days and you're lifting every single day. You do it for 6 days, you have one off day. So like that was the biggest thing. The coaches were just really hard on you because you know, they kind of want to pick out the weak from the strong and see who's really about this and who's kind of just here to have fun in a different country. But the number one thing I took away from that was the people, man. Like seeing you make a couple friends from the Netherlands, make a couple of friends from Germany, one of my closest friends from Canada, and then you look at my roommate was from Florida. You know, we might live in the same country, but we're on two different aspects. So just making the friends and then also being able to each day play basketball against them and compete for where we're all trying to go pro was a big thing that kind of stood out to me. And then in the summer league, I was playing really good. Like all my teammates I was really close to. And then we went 3-0 and I was the number one in MVP. And then the last play I rolled my ankle and I was out for 2 or 3 months going into the summer. But I think that what I showed in those three games was enough for them to kind of be like, all right, he's serious about this and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I saw you when you were down here in Southie, right? When I was umpiring, that was during the time you were covering. And I remember you saying, like, it's a tough time for it to happen because you were still figuring out what you're going to do, which I know you might have the offer from Geyer at the time, but you're still figuring out where you're going to play next. And obviously, having an injury, it's never easy, especially when you're trying to figure out your next step and the place you're going to play, next. But you were able, obviously, to land on your feet, everything recovered, and you're still putting up big time numbers. So it's amazing what you're able to do. And I'm so proud of you, truly. I am. And
Thank you,
even though I'm
man.
older than you, I'm looking up to you as a role model, being able to do something big.
Oh
Like,
man, bro. You're
the
taking it all
brain.
wrong, bro. I've been the younger one, bro. It was always, oh, the older Joey. Oh, I see you all. Let's go dap up Joey. You know, I've
I
always looked up
appreciate
to
it.
you, man, especially because you were such a good role model playing basketball, man. You're one of the nicest kids I know from Southie. And it truly, like, me and James would be, oh, that's Joey. Like, let's go talk to dude. You're one of my favorite dudes to talk to from Southie. There's not a lot of dudes you can
Appreciate it.
go up and, oh, how you been, dude? Like, oh, how's the family? Like, stuff like that. I mean, we're all like that because we're all from Southie, but it's not many dudes as nice as you and that we have the history with to be able to be like, oh, how's basketball? How's your life at BC and stuff like that?
For sure, there's that mutual respect. I think when you're all from Southie, right? It doesn't matter what age someone is, right? There's a difference in age. It doesn't matter. I think there's always that mutual respect, and I could say the same thing about you and James as well, which I appreciate that. It's very high praise, and I do thank you for that. But I would
Oh,
say
man.
with you, dude, like you're playing overseas, which I don't know. It's tough for me to even leave Southie. So being able to be overseas, being somewhere completely different, like that's tough to do. And I commend you for that. As I said, you are a
Thank
role
you, man.
model for not only me, just seeing what you're able to do, dude, and excelling at the highest level. Like that is very impressive. And I appreciate the kind words you're giving back to me, dude, because
Got you,
I
bro.
was that glue guy. I wasn't necessarily putting up big time numbers, but I can
But
get rebounds.
as a basketball guy, you love the glue guy because he doesn't care about anything but winning and trying to help his team, you know. And that's how you are off the court, bro. You're always willing to help a friend out. You were always like, oh, if you want to get some shots up. I mean, I was injured for 2 months and I wasn't really getting in the gym, but dude, you're always there for me and I appreciate you.
100%, dude. The same goes when you're back here too, or even when you're over in Portugal. Like I'm always there to help, truly. And Buzzy too. Buzzy's a great kid, like you too. Which seeing you guys grow up now too, and be at where you're at. Like seeing Buzzy and you running into you. I ran into you guys probably, I don't know, 5 months ago now, somewhere random in Southie. Might have been near Buzzy's house actually. It wasn't random. It was near Buzzy's maybe, but it was like crazy seeing y'all in the middle of nowhere, and then obviously out of nowhere, I should say. And then a month later, being down the park when I'm umpiring and stuff. It's cool running into you guys, and it's always been a pleasure being able to share the court with y'all. And Buzzy's one guy that. It's hard to get in my head when they're on the court. And I've said this to both of you guys. Like, you know me, I'm very chill. I don't really talk back when I'm on the court. I don't really care. Buzzy's the one guy that somehow gets in your head when he's playing. I don't know how, and I don't know what he says, but we played flag football. Like we used to play football, like two-hand touch. We'd play basketball. Somehow, some way, Buzzy would always get in my head. I don't know how, but he did. He did it.
It's the Southie way, man. You just know how to push people's buttons. And growing up together, you know what annoys somebody, and you know what to say at the right time. Because in Southie, you all have mutual respect, as you were saying, but the shit talking goes both ways. Like, everyone loves the shit talk, and it's that's what it's like. If I shit talk you, I love you, man. Like, you know what I mean? That's how it's always been since we were little.
100%. And you and Buzzy are two of the best athletes too, right? And we played like anytime we share the court together, you know it was gonna be a good game. Us three out there together, like,
You know we're fighting to the death for
well, for the
the
rebounds too, we're going
win.
all out. We're going all out for rebounds, which that's the beauty of growing up here in Southie. Like, we always had some sort of game to play. Like, we all play baseball, we all play basketball. We're at the Tynan Summit Camp, like getting shots up. Me and you, and we were like 10 and 12 years old, like just running the court back then. And now you look at where we're at today. So you are.
Or even during COVID, dude, getting 5 6-on-6 football, like randomly. Oh, you want to play some football, man? Throughout the years, playing every different sport, man.
Right at Moakley. Yeah, we got a lot of work in over the years, truly. And what you said about me being one of the nicest guys, like, I can say the same thing about you. One of the nicest guys, one of the greatest people
Appreciate
in
it, man.
Southie, truly. And to be, where you're at now too, like, you look at people that have played the game of basketball. There've been a lot of great basketball players in Southie. Not many people have accomplished what you've accomplished, truly, if any. Like, you've put up some
Thank
big
you,
time
man.
numbers, and being at where you're at, it's completely justified having you in the starting five, which Greg was right. I feel like my starting five's right, which I don't have it now at the top of my head. One day I'll
You
have it
don't
for you.
got on the you gotta name the top five on a podcast one day, man.
Once I get
You
Greg on, I'll
gotta
try to get
see
Greg on before, which if I get Greg, you got to come on too.
if you get Greg on, I'll be the first. You need to be the first person I call. I gotta be the first person you call, man. That would be the best podcast I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, Greg Lowry's a legend.
Why
He's
won't
showing
Greg
up.
hop on? He's too busy.
He said before, I think I asked him. He might be a little shy about it. I don't know. I've asked him before. I think one day maybe he will. But I think he was busy maybe the last time I asked him. But he does follow this and he will see this. I'm gonna send him it afterwards. So maybe this will be something that gets him to wanna join for a quick episode. But now I'll transition to talk about the Patriots really quick, which they have a big game tonight. Obviously playing Sunday Night Football playoff game at home against the LA Chargers. What are you expecting heading to tonight's game? How do you think the Patriots match up with LA?
So I personally don't think it will be a blowout. Like, I really think it's gonna be a one, maybe at most 10-point game each way throughout the whole game. I mean, I'm a Patriots fan. They've been the better team all season, so you kind of expect them to maybe win. But I mean, with Justin Herbert and Derwin James on the other side of the ball, you kind of never really know. Like, you have faith, but you never really are like, oh, I'm gonna win this game, especially with playoff football.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Any bounce of the ball can really change a game, right? Whether it's a muff punt, an interception, a tip pass, like all of those things can change a game. And they've been very good this year, just like the Patriots. I think the Patriots are the better team. Playing at home, I think, helps as well. I do agree with you, though. Like, the Chargers, they've been a good team the last few years. Like, 3 out of the last 4 years, they've probably been to the playoffs. They never got that playoff win with Herbert yet. So this is a big stage for them. A big stage for the Patriots, though, right? Like, this is a team that had low expectations heading into the year. How difficult was it for you, like, tuning into games with the time difference? I'm sure it hasn't been easy.
So I've caught most of the games. I've probably missed 3 or 4 games, but the 1 o'clock games are 6 o'clock here. So on a Sunday, I'm relaxing. It's pretty easy to catch it. But once you get into Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football, a couple games they've had, that's 1:20, 1:30 in the morning as it starts. So you maybe catch up until halftime, and you're like, all right, I think maybe if it's not a close game, I'm probably shutting it off and going to sleep. But I'm checking that next time I wake up to see if they won.
Yeah, checking the stats, which I know you're a big Pats fan, you're a big Boston sports fan. So now that we're in the playoffs, you'll be up tonight till 1 a.m. or when it starts at 1 a.m., you'll be up watching,
I'll
right?
probably be up till 4:30, 5 o'clock.
You have to.
Practice will always be there. Patriots
Yeah.
might not be in the playoffs.
There you go. I mean, I get it. And obviously the year they've had, it's a tough year to tune out and not and miss a playoff game, which when you look at the MVP race, which I know it's based on the regular season, so what's happened already is over with. Do you think Drake May should be the NFL MVP?
I honestly do, because I don't know. I've seen some stats like on Instagram or on Reels, and you look at it and it's like Drake May leads this, Drake May leads this, Drake May leads this, and you can't discredit Matthew Stafford for what he's doing. I think he has top 2 passing yards. I think someone might be in front of him. Bro, he's like 35 touchdowns, passing touchdowns, I think, or something. Like,
Like
I mean,
40
but
something, I think, or
yeah,
45 or
it's
46 of you in the
insane
last
for what he's
this
doing. But at
season.
the same time, you're looking at who's Drake May throwing it to? I mean, he has Stephon Diggs, but he's old. Like, he's getting up there in age. I mean, we could say the same thing for Devonta. What is it? Adams.
Devontae Adams? Yes,
Devonta
Devontae
Adams.
Adams,
You can
yes.
say the same thing. But he has Puka Nacua, one of the best wide receivers in the league. And I'm not going to discredit Pop Douglas, but he's not on Puka Nacua's level. You know what I mean? So when you look at the stats, I mean, Everyone throws out the easiest schedule for the Drake May slander, but you look at the common opponents, and Drake May kills Matthew Stafford in those. So,
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
I
a
think
fair
it's Drake
point.
May all the way.
I think it's a fair point. I think also you look at expectations heading into the year. Like the Rams, I don't know if anybody consider them a Super Bowl contender, but you consider them a playoff team probably heading into the year, no matter what. The Patriots didn't have those expectations, but Drake May obviously elevated all the guys around him. I think, like you said, with the schedule, like people use that as slander, and I get why. Like, yeah, statistically, you probably have a little bit easier schedule, but you don't pick and choose. May's not going out there saying, oh, I want to play the Giants, I want to play the Jets, I want to play the Dolphins. It's just what's on the schedule. You play who you play. And like you said, common opponents, he had some really good numbers. Stafford had some good ones, and then May had some really good ones as well, and probably even better. And you look at the expectations heading into the year, I think that you have to factor that in. And May going from the Patriots 2 years ago without May were like a 4-win team. Last year with them were a 4-win team, and now being a 13-14, whatever they are, 14-3, 13-4, I think. Like it's very impressive what they were able to do. And what would you say is, if it's not the LA Chargers, which I'd imagine is probably a different team, who would you say is the toughest opponent for the Patriots in the AFC this year? Which I think Jacksonville is going to be the toughest test.
Yeah, so I'm right on the other side of the ball. I have to say the Bills, man. Like you can without Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, without some other quarterbacks who have been hurt and haven't made the playoffs. You look at Josh Allen, it's like you can never take Josh Allen out of a game. You could put him up against one of the greatest teams ever, and I mean, Josh Allen's going to find a way to get three rushing touchdowns and two passing touchdowns and make it a one possession game. So, you know, Patrick Mahomes has always got the best of him, but he's not there now. So it's kind of like, is this his chance for the ring? I mean, hopefully Jacksonville stops him because I would rather play Jacksonville than the Bills. But I mean, they're also like a division rival. You got to give them some respect, but at the same time, you got to hate on them, you know?
I get what you mean completely. Yeah, like you don't want to see them, and you're not rooting for them. But Josh Allen, he's a fun player to watch, and I think that's why a lot of people have that respect. But yeah, I think Buffalo would be a tough one. I think Jacksonville. But at the end of the day, this year more than any, it's wide open. Like the NFL, I feel like winning the Super Bowl, any team could do it. So that's why once you're in it, anything could happen. You got to win four games. Patriots will be at home, obviously, for three of the two of the first three if they make it and play, you know, Denver in the AFC Championship, right? Like, that's the cool thing is that it's going to go through some of the playoffs. You're going to go through Foxville, right? So that's an advantage. And May's been awesome this year. I think what the Patriots were able to do with him this year, what he was able to do with himself being out there and elevating all the guys, like, it's very impressive. And you look at the rest of the AFC, like, there's some good teams. As I said, I think Jacksonville's really good. I don't really believe in Denver that much. I think the
Yeah,
Giants
they're
should have
kind of
beaten them.
they're I mean their defense is insane, but you look at Bo Nix sometimes and he just looks like he's throwing to nobody out there. He's lost sometimes.
Yeah, that's the thing with Bo. Like I've been critical of him, and then there'll be some plays like, oh wow, he read coverage very well. And then there'll be other plays where it's like the Giants should have picked him off two or three times in that game, and I
Yeah,
don't think
very
they did.
inconsistent.
Like, you know what I mean? And the numbers might look good at the end of the year, but I think if you look at, which I know Bo Nix, he's not in the MVP race like Stafford and May, but some people heading into the year considered him probably more of an MVP candidate than May. But now you look at
Oh,
those
100%,
quarterbacks, like everyone, I'd say most people, maybe not everyone, Broncos fans would probably choose Bo Nix, but I'd want Drake May on my team over Bo Nix. Do you know what I mean? So if the
definitely.
Patriots play them, I think you could beat them. Quarterback
Oh,
play is so
100%.
important, right? Which we grew up watching Brady, right? Like I'm a Giants fan, but Brady was always on TV in the playoffs. You need that guy that's that X factor quarterback that can go into any place and win. And now you see a guy like Drake May, and you can't say he's Brady, but like he has that same, winning mentality,
The
right?
way he carries himself is the same way I feel like, where he's not going to back down from, if he's down two touchdowns, he's not going to throw checkdowns. I think he had the best percentage over 20 yards or something. Like he's looking to throw the ball down the field and score. Like he wants to win games, and it's clear as day.
Yeah, I completely agree. So we'll see what happens. Do you have a prediction for the Super Bowl? It's fine if you don't. Mine was Jacksonville and Chicago, with Jacksonville winning, mainly because Jacksonville was playing, I think, the best football in the NFL over the last 8 weeks. They've won eight in a row. But who would you say is your playoff prediction, your Super Bowl prediction, I should say?
I'm gonna go with Eagles, you know, because I just see you can't discredit that whole team, to be honest. Like everybody is really good, but Eagles, Pats. Just
Okay.
because if I said a different team, I would be mad at myself. So,
That's fair. With the Pats getting the win, I'd imagine. If they're in it, you got to have them win it.
oh yeah, if they're Super Bowl champs, I don't
Yeah.
know what it is, 56 or something, but Super Bowl 56 champs if it is.
Yeah. It would be tough to not pick them if they're in it, right? Like you'd have to root for them, which I
It's
agree.
like
The
if
Eagles.
the Giants were in it, like you're not gonna choose a different team.
Yes, 100%. If your team's
it.
in it, you got a chance, right? You want your team to win
Yeah.
it. I think just making it this year for the Patriots is a huge step of progress. Even
Yeah.
if, which I think they'll win tonight, but even if they didn't, like just making the playoffs this year and having all its success is a big step of momentum heading into next year. So we'll see how things go. But anyways, Jake, thank you so much for taking the time. Truly, it was an absolute honor and a pleasure and a privilege to be able to talk with you and to see all the things you're doing, dude. I'm so proud of you. And you know, I'm rooting for
Thank
you
you.
every step of the way. I can't wait till you're back home in Southie and we'll get some shots up here whenever
Yeah.
you're back. You know, I'm there to help you any way I can. But I'm so proud of you, dude. And thank you so much for taking the time. Truly, I appreciate it.
Appreciate you for having me on, bro. I appreciate all the kind words you've said, and thank you throughout the years, always helping me and being there. Appreciate it, man.
Love you, brother. Keep up the
Love
great
you
work.
too. Yep.
Take care.